Well, it's Wednesday. It's 8 December. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the Wednesday CG Report. No surprise there. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, I did this 2 weeks in a row. I thought I'd do another week of it just to keep you on the edge of your seat. Died suddenly. Here's some people that just in the past week have been noted as dying suddenly. From Newburyport News obituaries. This is from 11/26. David A. Nadeau, 60, died suddenly on November 26 at his home in West Newbury. Now, all of these people died suddenly, and it doesn't say the reason why, and that makes everything about it suspect. So, we'll read the next. COVID World, 29 November, Carlotta Masala, 27 years old, dies from myocarditis months after receiving Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. Father seeks answers. That wasn't really a died suddenly, but I thought I'd throw it in there. From Patch, 30 November, Matawan, New Jersey girl, 11, dies suddenly on Thanksgiving Day. The girl is Juliana Rechten. Neither her obituary nor the fundraising page gave any further details about the circumstances surrounding her death. My guess is the parents were too embarrassed to admit they gave her a COVID vaccine and she died from the death shot. That's just a guess. From Get Reading, 30 November, tributes to Reading After Dark doorman and phenomenal dad, David Goddard, who died suddenly. His wife, Jessica, said he died of a suspected cardiac arrest. From Mail Online, 12/1, Scotland women's international rugby player Siobhan Cattigan, who campaigned against sexism in the sport, has died suddenly at the age of 26. Cause of death has not been revealed, though it is thought to be non-suspicious. Well, that makes me suspicious. From Herald News, from 12/1, community mourns sudden death of Duran student. It says it's from an asthma attack. From WTOL 11, this is 12/1 again. Elmore Mayor Richard Klaar dies at 66. This is a friend's mayor. He sent me this from his hometown. Elmore Mayor Richard E. Klaar, 66, passed away Monday after a sudden illness. That's all it says. From Click on Detroit, 12/2, longtime journalist, Ann Arbor area radio host Lisa Berry passes away unexpectedly, died from complications from a heart condition. From Daily Voice, 12/3, beloved Trenton football coach, philanthropist David Henderson dies suddenly at age 31. From the Daily Voice, this is from 12/3 as well, Woodbridge High School teacher who died suddenly is ID'd. His name is Jeffrey Grimm, 45. He's an offensive line football coach for Matawan Regional High School. We just had a girl that died from there a couple articles ago, and now this guy from the same area, Matawan, has died. So I imagine they enforced a COVID vaccine rule, and all of a sudden people are keeling over. From Sunday Life, from 12/4, Belfast, Ireland, tributes paid to schoolgirl Maggie Black, 5 years old, who died suddenly. And yes, they're vaxxing their kids that age over there, so that's my guess is what happened to her as well. From York Mix, 12/4, tributes paid to kind, well-loved York cycle courier who has died suddenly at age 28. Ethan Bradley died at his home on Pottery Lane. From CBC, 12/4 again, Olalekan William Lasisi died unexpectedly at 20, but his legacy will live on, says family. He had an enlarged heart. From the Daily Record, from 12/4 again, dad of three, fit as a fiddle, dies suddenly, leaving family heartbroken. His name is Chris McCormick, age 52, died of a sudden heart attack. From ABC, on 12/6, Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit dies suddenly at Santa Anita Park, trainer says. My thought is that horse must have gotten a COVID shot. From the Daily Voice, 12/6 again, Lancaster's Bailey Carr, 22, mourned as talented artist. Cause of death was not released. From Local 2, on 12/6 again, community pitches in to help family after mother of eight dies unexpectedly. Kendra Stevenson had trouble breathing. And from Bring Me the News, Minnesota firefighters mourn sudden death of colleague. Aaron Biddle of the Loretto Fire Department passed away suddenly. All it says is medical condition in quotes. From the Gateway Pundit, report shows nearly 300 athletes worldwide collapsed or suffered cardiac arrests after taking COVID vaccine this year. Many died. No surprise there. From the Gateway Pundit, former Australian pro basketball player Ben Madgen, diagnosed with pericarditis after taking second shot of Pfizer vaccine. From the Gateway Pundit, not surprisingly, we read this article, Lawrence Sellin. Evidence indicates COVID-19 is a designed bioweapon. Now, this sounds a little conspiratorial, but it's still a pretty good article. It's a designed bioweapon with a toxic structure that may be replicated in vaccines. It was further proposed that spike proteins demonstrating high risk for human infection would be artificially combined with other bat coronavirus backbones, creating entirely new and potentially dangerous coronaviruses. Caution, therefore, is warranted regarding mandating COVID-19 mRNA vaccines, which initiate the synthesis of spike protein inside the human body and may replicate the toxic structures introduced into COVID-19, potentially becoming a causative factor in organ inflammation. Listen, there's nothing potential about it. That is exactly what we've been reading about for weeks and weeks and months and months. A scientific abstract concludes that the mRNA vaccines dramatically increase inflammation on the endothelium and T-cell infiltration of cardiac muscle and may account for the observations of increased thrombosis, cardiomyopathy, and other vascular events following vaccination. Finally, it may be purely coincidental that Moderna, a biotechnology company that produces a COVID-19 mRNA vaccine, holds a patent, US 10501513B2, filed on February 7, 2017, describing protein cleavage sites and including a complementary genetic sequence matching that for the furin polybasic cleavage site found in COVID-19. From Survival Mag, Forbes admits mRNA vaccines alter DNA, then changes the headline. In an article published by Forbes, the mainstream media admitted that COVID vaccines change your DNA, but only indirectly, and that is a good thing. Forbes published an article from Steven Salzberg titled, "Yes, the vaccines change your DNA a tiny bit. That's a good thing." Forbes later retitled the article and admits that COVID vaccines don't alter your DNA. They help choose cells to strengthen your immune response. After being criticized by vaccine cult, the author challenged the headline to emphasize that the vaccines don't alter your DNA without changing any of the article's content. That should come as no surprise. From the Knock Report, 5-year-old died 4 days after Pfizer shot, CDC VAERS data show. VAERS data released by the CDC included a total of 927,740 reports of adverse events from all age groups following COVID-19 vaccines, including 19,532 deaths and 146,720 serious injuries between December 14th of last year and November 26th of this year. Now, remember, that is all voluntary reporting. The number of people that actually have had these things happen is probably geometrically higher, but for whatever reason, they were not entered into the system. From the Gateway Pundit, this shouldn't surprise you at all. The COVID-19 vaccines do not prevent transmission of the disease. Judge Doughty's ruling destroys Biden's vax mandates. The ruling by Judge Doughty follows Missouri U.S. District Judge Matthew Schlepp's ruling that blocked mandates in 10 states. Judge Doughty pointed out all of the illogical and irrational contradictions in the mandate. If boosters are needed 6 months after being fully vaccinated, then how good are the COVID-19 vaccines, and why is it necessary to mandate them? That's a good question, by the way. The complainant provided evidence based on Dr. Peter A. McCullough's declaration. The COVID-19 vaccines do not prevent transmission of the disease among the vaccinated or mixed vaccinated, unvaccinated populations. mandatory COVID-19 vaccines for hospitals do not increase safety for employees or hospital patients. McCulloch declared that additional treatment with other drugs and supplements has resulted in 85% reduction in hospitalizations and death of high-risk individuals presenting with COVID-19. In other words, the vaccines don't work, but the things that they don't want you to take, like ivermectin, do work. From the Defender, federal judge rejects DOD claim that Pfizer EUA and Comirnaty vaccines are interchangeable. This is something I've been bringing up for months and months and months now. A federal district court has rejected a claim by the United States Department of Defense that the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine being administered under EUA is significant for two reasons. One reason pertains to the difference in ingredients and manufacturing process between Pfizer's EUA vaccine and the approved Comirnaty vaccine. And the other pertains to the legal difference between a fully licensed vaccine and an EUA vaccine. The latter reason would apply not just to Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, but also to the vaccines produced by Moderna and J&J, both of which are authorized only under EUA products. When the FDA approved Pfizer's Comirnaty COVID-19 vaccine in August, approval was accompanied by a series of confusing documents and equally confusing public statements. One such confounding statement reads, "The licensed vaccine has the same formulation as the EUA-authorized vaccine, and the products can be used interchangeably to provide the vaccination series without presenting any safety or effectiveness concerns. The products are legally distinct with certain differences that do not impact safety or effectiveness." The FDA provided no explanation as to how the licensed Comirnaty vaccine and the Pfizer-BioNTech EUA vaccine could be used interchangeably, despite having certain differences that make them legally distinct. It all comes down to, as I said, liability. That's what's going on here. They don't want to be accountable for all the people that they're killing with these things, so they haven't given any Comirnaty out there. But they're trying to force that on the military, and the military, a couple people in there at least, have decided to fight back, and this judge has seen exactly what's going on, and he says this is not going to happen. There are key differences between fully licensed vaccines and those authorized under EUA. EUA products are considered experimental under U.S. law. This means they cannot be mandated, and everyone has the right to refuse such vaccines without consequences. The Nuremberg Code, as well as federal law, provide that no human being can be forced to participate in a medical experiment. Under 21 U.S. Code, section blah, 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 blah. It's a very long code. Authorization for medical products for use in emergencies. It is unlawful to deny someone a job or an education because they refuse to be an experimental subject. This is also made clear in the FDA fact sheet provided to its patients receiving any Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. It states, under the EUA, it is your choice to receive or not receive the vaccine. Should you decide to not receive it, it will not change your standard medical care. However, U.S. law does allow employers and schools to require students and workers to take licensed vaccines. None of this is in the least bit surprising. What you need to remember if you are being forced to get a vaccine is that you demand that they give you the Comirnaty vaccine, which is the only approved vaccine. They will not be able to give it to you because it has not been released, and therefore they cannot force you to take a vaccine that is not approved by the FDA. All of these are under EUA. They're making billions of dollars and they're killing people without any liability at all. That is what's happening. This judge has said that is not going to happen to these service members. From Mail Online, COVID rules are blamed for 23% dive in young children's development. Disturbing study shows scores in three key cognitive tests slumped between 2018 and 2021, with face mask rules among possible culprits. Not surprising at all. And this shouldn't surprise you either. From the Epoch Times, COVID-19, a pandemic of fear manufactured by authorities, says a Yale epidemiologist. The COVID-19 pandemic has been one of fear manufactured by individuals who were in the nominal positions of authority as the virus began to spread across the globe last year. According to Yale epidemiologist Dr. Harvey Risch, Risch argued that by and large, what has characterized the entire CCP virus pandemic has been a degree of fear and people's response to the fear. Overall, I'd say that we've had a pandemic of fear, and fear has affected almost everybody, whereas the infection has affected relatively few. By and large, it's been a very selected pandemic and predictable. It was very distinguished between young versus old, healthy versus chronic disease people, so we quickly learned who was at risk for the pandemic and who wasn't. However, the fear was manufactured for everybody, and that's what's characterized the whole pandemic, is that degree of fear and people's response to the fear. The epidemiology professor suggested that individuals who held the nominal positions of authority during the onset of the pandemic in March 2020 initially spread a much worse picture of the dire nature of the virus than was warranted. That included the message that everybody was at risk, everybody could die from contracting the virus, everybody needed to find protection, everybody needed to stay in their homes and not socialize with others to protect themselves, and in this way, protect society. People were quite afraid of that message, as anybody would be, with the government, with authorities, with scientists, scientific people, with medical people in authority, and the public health institutions all saying the same message starting in about February or March of last year. They set up Donald Trump from the CDC, all of the lefties that were down there. They set up this nation. They were able to rig an election by doing so because people were scared and they said, oh, you need to vote from home. They stole the election and they are continuing their fear campaign. Look at Australia. They're locked down still. Those people are, I don't know what'll ever come of Australia. I can't even imagine. All of the other countries in Europe, they're all following this same wicked path. The United States is at least bucking back through the legal systems and through our constitutional rights. He says, I think everybody had levels of anxiety that really affected how they carry out their life at that time. Meanwhile, Biden has said that 96 to 98% of Americans need to be vaccinated against COVID-19 before the nation can go back to normal, pushing the rhetoric that unvaccinated Americans are to blame for slowing down the nation's economic recovery. That's not it at all. We have a communist in the White House who is trying to destroy this nation, and he's doing a fine job at it, and he's using COVID as a pretense for keeping you scared. From the Epoch Times, COVID-19 outbreak reported on U.S. cruise ship despite fully vaccinated passengers. Not surprising at all there. From BBC, Belgian zoo hippos test positive for COVID. Well, we'll get a vaccine about this big and we'll pump it into them. How's that, the poor hippopotamuses? From the Scottish Sun, we should not find this surprising at all. Baby tragedy probe launched as 21 newborn babies die in Scotland in 1 month. Officials raised the alarm after the number of deaths spiked in September. Official figures reveal 21 Scots babies died within 28 days of birth in September. The rates usually vary on a monthly basis, but September saw a rate of 4.9 per 1,000 live births. Not surprising. General Dispatch, Scotland. Vaccinated are dying left and right, far more than those with no shots. Only 15% of deaths are not vaccinated. Now, that might be a little bit of a pull over your eyes thing. I don't know. It depends on the number of people that were actually vaccinated in Scotland. And it may be that so many are vaccinated that obviously more people are going to die that are vaccinated. They don't give you all of the information there. But if the number in Scotland has not been highly vaccinated, say they're at 50%, then that's a real telling thing there. I just don't know, and I want to be fair about the analysis. From Zero Hedge, over 42,000 adverse reaction reports revealed in first batch of Pfizer vax docs. In other words, they've been holding these vaccine documents, Pfizer has, and they say that it'll be about 2076 before they're all released. But from the first batch that was released, there were over 42,000 adverse reaction reports. The FDA's excruciatingly slow release of data related to Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine has already borne fruit. And it's damning despite a trickle of just 500 pages per month out of 329,000 pages, which will take until 2076 to complete. there were a total of 42,086 case reports for adverse reactions. That's 25,379 medically confirmed, 16,707 non-medically confirmed, spanning 158,893 total events. More than 25,000 of the events were classified as nervous system disorders. Why doesn't that surprise me? And even more unsurprisingly, from Breitbart, broken promises. 1 year ago, Joe Biden said he wouldn't demand mandatory vaccines. Well, he's a liar. That's his native tongue, is being a liar. He's just like Satan himself. He can't say anything truthful. He never does. And so for him to give you a promise means absolutely diddly. From Fox, White House says domestic travel vaccine requirements on the table due to Omicron variant. That's another lie from the liar in chief, because they said just recently that they would have no such thing in this nation, but now it's on the table. From Zero Hedge, Twitter slaps unsafe label on American Heart Association mRNA vaccine warning. Twitter slapped an unsafe link warning on a study from the American Heart Association, which found that mRNA vaccines dramatically increased the risk of developing heart diseases from 11% to 25%. This warning, requiring one to click ignore this warning and continue before they can proceed to the American Heart Association's website, Twitter warning says that the link was identified as being potentially spammy or unsafe and could contain malicious links that could steal personal information or harm electronic devices, spammy links that mislead people or disrupt their experience, violent or misleading content that could lead to real-world harm, certain categories of content that, if posted directly on Twitter, are a violation of the Twitter rules. It's unclear as to which of these warrants the label. CNBC. CDC confirms first I'm going to take you through the Omicron disaster, the fiasco that's been going on for the past 10 days or so, okay? From CNBC. CDC confirms first U.S. case of Omicron COVID variant has been detected in California. That was, what, about 10 days ago or so? Fully vaccinated. From Summit News, Germany detects 4 cases of Omicron in the fully vaccinated. From the Epoch Times, Oxford University, no evidence vaccines won't protect against severe Omicron disease. That came after those other two articles where only the vaccinated had gotten the disease. It's not surprising for them to say this. Or the next article, Times of Israel. Early data, now listen to the hypocrisy of this. Early data shows past infection does not ward off Omicron, but vaccines effective. That's the Times of Israel. I'm going to read it again. I'm going to tell you why this is so deceitful. Early data shows past infection does not ward off Omicron, but vaccines effective. At the time of this article, there were no cases of it in the unvaxxed. There were only 2 cases in Israel. Both of them were in fully vaxxed doctors. From CBS, second and third U.S. cases of Omicron COVID-19 diagnosed. All 3 of the first U.S. cases had been fully vaccinated. Mail Online, majority of England's Omicron cases are double vaccinated. Health chief reveals 55% of those who tested positive for super strain had both jabs amid fears variant can dodge current shots. I would guess that the other 45% had their first shot. This is something that is affecting people that have been vaccinated. Zero Hedge. The case for compulsory vaccinations is dead. Omicron just killed it. Now, I'm going to read you only the conclusion of the article. It's not going to kill it because they're not going to listen to this anyway, but this is the logic and it is impeccable. The current narrative is that the vaccines do not confer immunity or prevent transmission. They already admit that. What beneficial effect they do have wears off and they don't know when. They admit that. They probably don't protect against new variants or mutations. That has been proven with Omicron. The vaccines have unknown long-term side effects, and they've admitted that. These are not fringe ideas or baseless theories. They are the self-contradictory supposed facts of the schizophrenic COVID story. Going entirely by the mainstream's own words and completely on their own terms, any possible case for mandatory vaccinations is dead. The Omicron variant killed it, even if it never killed anyone else. From Zero Hedge. WHO, Omicron in 38 countries. No deaths recorded. From Haaretz, listen to this. They're a lefty magazine over in Israel. Omicron may be the final straw in world leaders' patience with anti-vaxxers. What hypocrites. The only people that are getting it are vaxxed people, and they're saying we that don't get vaccinated are the hindrance to people getting better. Here's something interesting. This is from the India Bar Association. Yes, it's right on their website. This isn't a made-up article. You can go to the India Bar Association and you can read it. It's a long thing. I'm just going to read you the pertinent part that it begins with. World's first vaccine murder case against Bill Gates, Aadhar Poonawalla, filed in India's High Court, posted by Indian Bar Association on November 25th of 2021. Petitioner has sought prosecution of AstraZeneca's, meaning COVID shield manufacturer, Bill Gates, his partner, Aadhar Poonawalla, and other government officials and leaders involved in the murder of a 23-year-old man who lost his life because of vaccination. The deceased took the COVID shield vaccine by believing in the false narrative that the vaccine is completely safe, and also owing to the compliance requirements set by the railways that only double vaccinated people would be allowed to travel. The government of India's AEFI committee has recently admitted that the death of Dr. Snehal Lunawat was due to side effects of the COVID shield vaccine. The said report has exposed the falsity of the claim made by the vaccine syndicate that vaccines are totally safe. Petitioner has claimed Rs. 1,000 crores, whatever that is, which is $134 million U.S. dollars compensation, and has asked for interim compensation of Rs. 100 crores, which is $13.4 million. I hope he wins. We'll see what happens. Okay, here's something unsurprising because it comes out of Florida. Epic Times. Florida-based hospital system won't require its 83,000 employees to be vaccinated, says a memo. The reason why they're doing this is because if they force their employees, our governor will find them out of existence. He's a great governor and he is doing the right thing. A Florida-based hospital system has ended its vaccination mandate for its 83,000 employees after multiple federal courts issued preliminary injunctions against the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services vaccine mandate for health care workers. Advent Health, which operates in 9 states, including Florida, previously sent a letter to employees saying that they had until December 6th to get their first dose of Moderna or Pfizer vaccine regimen, or the single-dose Johnson & Johnson shot by January 4th of 2022. Workers who didn't comply could have faced termination. Due to recent decisions by the federal courts to block the CMS vaccine mandate, we are suspending all vaccination requirements of our COVID-19 vaccination policy, Advent Health Chief Clinical Officer Neil Finkler said in a letter. Now, they can still tell their people to do this. They just don't have the courts behind them. But the reason why they picked out Florida is because of the governor, because they can continue to ask or mandate their people in other states to get these vaccines. They're not going to do it in Florida because DeSantis will find them right out of existence. The letter said that because of the complexity of federal and state laws regarding vaccine exemptions, Advent Health won't process new requests for exemptions. The hospital system will continue to monitor the ongoing litigation regarding the federal law. He added that Advent Health is still recommending that its staff get vaccinated. That's a bunch of stupid people. Advent Health is not smart if they are recommending that even when people are keeling over from this vaccine. It goes on. A CMS spokesperson confirmed that the agency has suspended activities related to the implementation and enforcement of this rule pending future developments in the litigation. The vaccine requirement for healthcare workers addresses the risk of unvaccinated healthcare staff to patient safety and provides stability and uniformity across the nation's healthcare system, the spokesman said. None of that is true. Staff in any healthcare setting who remain unvaccinated pose both direct and indirect threats to patient safety and population health. Once again, entirely untrue. They're defending the indefensible by mandating these vaccines, and they're not even approved, so they would be liable to the Nuremberg Code for forcing somebody to take somebody that is not approved under the FDA from Weasel Zippers. DeSantis, most of you probably know this, maybe some of you haven't heard it, and I'm so proud of our governor, I'm just going to go ahead and read it anyway. DeSantis pitches idea of creating Floridian army he would control. Florida Governor DeSantis proposed reestablishing a World War II-era civilian military force that he would control. DeSantis pitched the idea of creating the Florida State Guard, which would be independent of federal control, while speaking about his military budget proposal. The Guard would consist of 200 volunteer civilians trained in the best emergency response techniques that would aid in the event of natural disasters or other state emergencies, like bringing in illegal immigrants into the state. They can now use a Florida State Guard to get rid of these people and to control the borders of Florida. That is the intent here, is to protect Floridians from the administration, the criminals in the White House of the United States of America. From the Epic Times, push to make Florida school board candidates declare a party. This is great. If you're in Florida or anywhere else in the U.S., you want to try to get this on your constitutional amendments list for the next election. Very good idea. When Florida lawmakers return to Tallahassee in January, they will be presented with a bill that will require those running in local school board elections to select a political party. If the bill, introduced by State Senator Joe Gruters, passes, it will be put to voters next year as a constitutional amendment. In the Senate Ethics and Elections Committee on November 30th, Gruters said, "It doesn't matter what county you are in, these races are already partisan." He said Democrat and Republican activist organizations are already choosing their favorites. In these elections, even though the candidates are running as nonpartisan, Gruters explained his proposal would end what he referred to as a shell game. He said candidates with partisan leanings are running, but they can shield their true political views from Florida voters because they're seeking a nonpartisan office. In 1998, Florida voted to make these contests nonpartisan, with 64% in favor of the constitutional amendment. During the meeting, Gruters said the backlash from certain school boards that Governor Ron DeSantis received over blocking school mask mandates helped to create the legislation. Increasing heat and discussions at school board meetings led to the FBI starting to track threats against school board members across the country. This has brought much criticism from Republican lawmakers who allege that Biden's administration was trying to intimidate or silence parents who speak up and object to school board policies. That is why we need to have this done, is so that these people identify as Democrats and we do not vote them into our school boards. They're a bunch of perverts. From the Daily Wire, Index of Personal and Economic Freedom, no surprise here, shows red states at top and blue states at the bottom. A recent analysis shows that Republican-led states are outpacing Democrat-led states in overall freedom. The Cato Institute's newest Freedom in the 50 States report shows that across a variety of metrics, including fiscal policy, government regulations, and civil liberties, red states generally promote a higher quality of life. No surprise at all there. The analysis methodology is as follows. Our index encompasses both economic and personal freedoms because the two sets of freedoms are complementary. A state scoring high in economic freedom but not in personal freedom, a hypothetical American Singapore, would not be really a free state in the way the liberal tradition understands it. Nor would a state high in personal freedom but low in economic freedom, an American Argentina, provide the liberal conditions necessary for human flourishing in the broadest sense. Even to economist Milton Friedman, a mere economic freedom index would not be a real freedom index. In his 1962 book, Capitalism and Freedom, Friedman explores the connection between economic and political freedoms, finding that political freedom, in the absence of economic freedom, is unlikely to last. He writes, "It is a mark of the political freedom of a capitalist society that men can openly advocate and work for socialism, while a socialist society does not permit the reverse. In overall freedom, the top five states are New Hampshire, Florida, Nevada, Tennessee, South Dakota, and meanwhile, the bottom states are Oregon, New Jersey, California, Hawaii, and New York." No surprises there. Let me tell you something. I am so glad to be in Florida. I wore a nice flowery shirt today because I know some of you, my friend out in Washington, she emailed me and she says, oh, it's in the 20s and we're getting heavy snow. And I thought, thank goodness I'm in Florida. I've got bare feet right now. It's blue sky outside. We got sunshine galore. There's so much sunshine that we don't need to take vitamin D here. We just go outside for a couple minutes and we get all the vitamin D we need. Very thankful for Florida. And I'm very thankful for the God who gave us places like Florida. Having said that, let me read you something that caught the whole world by surprise. We're talking about no surprises here. This caught the whole world by surprise. I'm going to take you to Isaiah 52, and I'm going to start in verse 13. And then I'm going to go all the way through Isaiah 53. Isaiah 52, verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told them, they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall consider. Here we go. The total surprise to the world. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Jesus Christ came to make his life an offering for sin for the people of the world, because he's perfect and without sin, and we're already infected with sin from the moment we were conceived, and all we do is just keep sinning throughout our lives, offending a righteous and holy God. But God himself decided, I'm going to cure this problem. He knew before the world was created that he would send his son, the Lamb of God, to come into the world to redeem man. He knew that we would fall. It was the inevitable outcome of having a being that can praise God, that can have a relationship with him. You have to know the bad in order to understand the good. And that's what the Bible teaches in Genesis chapter 3. Man now has the knowledge of good and evil, but our inclination is to pursue the evil. Jesus Christ came to make it possible for us to pursue the good once again. We see the good in God, we reach out to the good, and we call on Jesus Christ. He died for my sins. He was buried. He was raised again. This is what God asks you to believe, the simple gospel message. if you'll just believe that premise, that Christ died for your sins, meaning you're a sinner, that Christ went into the grave, meaning he was really dead, and that Christ came out of the grave, proving that he had no sin and thus proving that he is God. If you believe that premise, you will be saved. So please today call on Jesus Christ. Call on him. Be reconciled to God through his precious shed blood and be redeemed with all of the redeemed of the ages. And we'll all stand in the presence of God someday because of what Christ has done. Do it today. Don't put it off until tomorrow. Believe in your heart that God did these things for you and you will be saved. And so, such is the world in which we live. And from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, and everywhere else that we can report from, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your Midweek CG Report.